K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez,
99.3.
He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, hallelujah. 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 Hey, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God. Hey, as always, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobile studios, radio broadcast, and just share with y'all, as I always say, the greatest story ever told, the love of God. God love for his children. Listen, you know, the word of God is the most powerful force in the universe. That's the most powerful force in the universe, is the word of God. It'll change darkness into light. It'll change sickness into health. It'll change a lost soul into a saved soul. It'll turn death into life. Well, it's the greatest force in the universe. Let me back up. It's the most powerful force in the universe. But the love of God, that's the greatest force in the universe. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Because that's what God is. He's love. He don't have love. He is the stuff. He's love. He's the God of love. And everything that he do concerning mankind is motivated by his love for mankind. That's why I say, hey, it's the greatest story ever told. It's the love of God who is... I'm going to say that again. Boy, it's the love of God for his people. You don't know how much God loves you. Say, this season that we just now coming in or coming through, you know, the celebration of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ or the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, boy, that's the greatest love of all that God showed toward mankind. So I'm talking about the greatest force in the universe. It was through that. It was through that season that God displayed, boy, his greatest act of love that he showed, that he manifested. Not just said it, but manifested. Said and manifested was his greatest act for mankind was death. Boy, he loved you. He loved me. He loved every boy. He can't even fathom the depth of his love. Who can grasp his infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of his love? For he's a mighty God that loves his children. So, hey, I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to come on here, you know, and allow our Father in heaven to use these lips of clay to share with all of us his love. Show you how much he loves us. Hallelujah. And you know why? You know, he want to shower us with his love. Because he just had one objective for that one. The object of love is to be loved. The whole reason why he displayed his love toward us, even while we were yet in our sins, because, boy, he wants us to love him. He just wants to be loved. That's it. That's all our Father in heaven wants, more than anything else, boy. I'm talking about more than anything else. He just wants his children to love him. So you know how you get them to know how you get us to love him? The Bible says not that we love him, but that he first loved us. So in order for him to get us to love him the way he desired to be loved and the way he deserved to be loved, he got to first love us. He got to love us first. I'm gonna say that again. He ain't waiting on us to then just fall in love with him. He waiting on us to grow in love with him. And the way we grow in love with him, he got to love us first, and he got to show us his love for us. That's why the Bible says he showed his love for us, that even while we was yet in our sins, boy, he hung, bled, and died. So what prayers, Arthur, so that we can once again, man, you know, receive the love of God and give the love of God. First and foremost to him, and then to one another. And boy, in doing that, we will fulfill all the laws of God. All them laws that God gave Moses and all the fulfillment of that law is in the royal law of the kingdom, called the law of love. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your might, and love, boy, your fellow man in the same way. Well, we love one another, man. We wouldn't slander one another, backbite against one another, render evil or harm or danger to one another if we truly love one another. And the only way that love can be listen, the only way that love can be manifested in our life and distributed in our life, boy, the Bible said this way, boy. He showered his love on us first. The Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. How you get that kind of love, boy? Hey, boy, the Holy Spirit revealed to us and show us, boy, not just in words, but in demonstration and power, how much he loves us. That love is shed abroad in our hearts by that. It's put in there by the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost that do that. In and of ourselves, we can't do nothing. That's why, boy, we need the Holy Ghost. That's why our main boy is in it. And that's the greatest act of love right there. Boy, when Jesus breathed into his boy, them disciples, boy, nothing before he went up to heaven, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Boy, that's the divine connection, boy, back to all of the kingdom of heaven. Hello. That's the divine connection back to where we were separated from. What are the presence of the Lord? Where God was walking and talking with his children in the cool of the day, boy, unbroken fellowship, no sense of guilt or condemnation or unrighteousness or anything like that. Just loving on his children. And boy, his children loving on him. And boy, we got separated from that love. In that arrangement, in that path, in that operation that God set up for us. I won't say an oasis of love, you know, because it wasn't no barren place. It was in the Garden of Eden, but boy, it was a big old garden of love. Nothing but love. And I'm not talking about human love and natural love. I'm talking about, boy, the agape love of God. That's life. That's God loving us, boy. That's the love of God for us. Say Lord. I'm going to say it again, boy. That's the love of God for his children. That's how much he loves you and me. That's his desire for you and me, boy, to experience that love. Not just the man, you know, have church about it and, you know, and say that, but I'm about really experience that love. And, boy, that's what he wants more than anything. That's his whole purpose for this season, boy, so he can get you back into his presence so that he can love on us. I told you, boy, your eyes ain't seen and your ears ain't heard, nor has it entered into our hearts, boy, the things that our Father has for us and how much he really loves us. And if the world really knew God and knew who he is and knew what his desire and plan and purpose and destiny was for our life, man, you know, they'd be running to him. Everything that every man and every woman and every boy and every on this earth is seeking for and desire and want is in him. Everything. Everything that you're looking for. Everything that mankind is desiring and looking for, boy, is all wrapped up in him. That's why he say, boy, come unto me, all ye with heavy laden, and learn of me, and I'll give you rest. If my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You got to learn of him. He say, come on and learn of me. Come learn, you know, and see how, learn and see and experience how much I love you and what the Father has done for you and I. That's what this whole season is all about. And, we call it, man, well, the world call it, and the religious people call it holiday. In the kingdom of God, we call it holy day. There's a big difference. And, boy, in the holy days, this season that we're in right now, boy, you begin to experience, boy, that kind of love. That agape love. You can experience some love in the holidays, too. That's when people are most happy, most joyful, you know, most friendly, you know, most courteous. But, boy, I'm talking about I'm talking about in the holy days. See, in the holidays, it just lasts for, you know, a week, 2 weeks. And after that, man, the new year come, boy, and here we are right back in this everyday battle of life on this earth. So you just celebrate that for a few days, a few weeks. Then after that, it's right back to normal. You got to wait a whole year for another season like that to come along. But in the holy days, when you recognize and understand that there's not a holiday but a holy day, then those days don't never end. They day after day after day after day. It's renewed day after day after day after day. It's not only gifts that you open up that one time that you get for Christmas, man, on those holidays, man. These are gifts that you open up every day. You know what I'm most afraid of? You know, we enjoy the Christmas holidays and everything, and that's a good thing, you know. And I trust that, you know, you all, you know, had good Christmas, you know. And I pray for those who didn't, you know, and that they come to the knowledge of that in this love of God that I'm talking about, it don't matter what the deal is. It don't matter what it was. It don't matter even how you feel, whether you know it or not. Boy, if you have accepted, man, this person who we just celebrated his birthday, not only celebrated his birthday, but accept who he is and what he did, then it don't matter what you might go through, even here on this earth. Even the worst of things is not worthy to be compared with all the love that you're going to live in for all eternity. See, you can only suffer on this little time or duration that we're here. You know, you live 100 years, you're done well, you know. So that's just a suffering of the present time. Ain't worthy to be compared, boy, with the glory that you're going to live in for all eternity. Not just for 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years of life here on the earth. I'm talking about living, man, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. In the love of God. Hello. What's that, Arthur? I'm talking about a season. What you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about a season. It's a season that we celebrate now. A season that we're in now. You know, let me say it in, I guess, the way. This Christmas season that we're in. Like I was going to say a second ago, you know what my greatest fear is? That because of the traditions of man, the tradition of God has gone, man, unknown. And our traditions, the traditions of man, as made by the word of God, are not effect. So seeing, we see not, and hearing, we hear not. All we see is the natural things. All we hear is the natural things. All we govern by is our five sense reasonings. But you don't know how to live by faith. We don't comprehend, you know, spiritual things. Things that are God. We worship him, but we don't really know how to worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, you always hear me say this when I come on this radio. You know, the devil's most successful tactic against us, when I say us, I'm talking about us believers, the body of Christ, all of us. I don't care who you are, from the Pope on down, whoever. It don't matter. You know what his most successful tactic that he uses against us? He preoccupies us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. He preoccupies us with the means at the expense of forfeiting the end. You don't mind you, man, you know, having, man, you know, church and having a good time in church and knowing, you know, of God and knowing about God. Boy, as long as you don't, boy, be the church. As long as you don't not just know of God and about God, but that you know him. So we can get about him, the study of God, so that we can know about him. And we can, man, in our knowledge of him, we can know about what he did, you know, and things that took place, you know, as a result of him and everything. That's not knowing him. That's knowing about him and what he did. And that ain't no bad thing. That's a good thing. But you know what a greater thing is? To know him. Not just of him and about him, but to know him. I'm talking about knowing like you know your family, like you know your friend, like you know your wife or your husband, like you know your children. To know them. When you get to know somebody, boy, you got to, you got to be in their presence. You got to hang around them. You got to, you know, you got to see them. You got to handle them. You got to touch them. You got to see them. You got to know them. You just can't hear about them. You got to know him. The only way you can do that, boy, you know. The Bible says, can't no man, boy, know him, boy, or come to him except he be drawn by the Holy Spirit. That's why I tell you all the time, boy, God points unto us the golden scepter of righteousness. Signifying that we can come all the way into his very presence and come boldly. Boldly mean without any sense of guilt or condemnation. And if you really understood what this season is all about, first and foremost, what this season is and what it's all about, you know, then you will never run from God. You will run into God. Even when you fall, you'll get back up and you'll run home. That's the safest place to be. If you hurt yourself, boy, you know, I'm talking about, man, and as you come up in the hospital, even if you have to go to the hospital, boy, the next safest place after that, after you get bandaged up and fixed up, is home. So if you fall and hurt yourself, you don't run, or if you fall, man, you don't run from home, you run to home. That's where your aid and support is. And because, you know, of this season right here, you and I, man, you know, whether you know it or not, whether you do it or not, whether you operate in the reality of it or not, man, because of this season, appointed time, you and I, man, can come all the way back into the presence of the Most High God without any sense of guilt or condemnation. Washed, white as snow. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Cleansed from all unrighteousness. Pardoned from all sin. For what purpose, Arthur? So that you can come back into his presence. that's what it's all about, coming back into his presence. Dear Lord. Like we said last week, boy, that's his greatest desire, boy. He just want to hang out with his children. He just want to love on us, boy. He just want to fellowship with us. And I ain't talking about in the sweet by and by when we all get to heaven. I'm talking about in the right here and now. Listen, I told you, man, thank God for the religious ritual and ceremony that we do in the corporate relationship, that when we come together, man, you know, when, there's something greater than that. Boy, boy, that's that one-on-one relationship. He want to walk and talk with you in the cool of your day, in the heat of your day, in whatever part of your day it might be, in whatever circumstance, situation, or something you might find yourself in that day. He want to walk and talk with you more himself. He want to have a personal encounter with you. So that we don't know of him, but we know him. And then when we know him, then we can know the truth then. And boy, that truth that we know, yeah, it set us free. Free from what, Art? From the law of sin and death. It'll deliver us out of what, Art? Out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, dear son. What are you talking about, Arthur? I'm talking about, boy, the greatest story that's ever been told. The love of God that he showed toward us and for us and to us in this season right here that you celebrate. You know what our tradition has made, man, you know, this whole season, man, of none a second in our lives. And we celebrate, you know, the way we celebrate and everything else, man, you know, and we have our little saying, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season, you know. And man, let me tell you something. Saying that don't bring no glory to God. I'm going to say this, and it ain't going to go over too good, man. Listen, because of God said my people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Jesus had a lot to do concerning the season and everything else, man, about the season. And man, he's the source of the season and the creator of the season. But he ain't the reason for it. There's a purpose for the season. That's what the word purpose means, the reason for the existence of a thing. Not what it is, but why it is. That's what reason is. The reason for why. The purpose for it. So when you say he the reason, you say he the purpose for the season. Yes, in the way we celebrate, you know, you pray for that, because you got to celebrate, man, the birth, man, of the Son of the Most High God. Hallelujah. But the season ain't about the birth of the Son of the Most High God. It's about the birth, it's about what the birth of the Son of God, boy, what he brought to this earth. He bought a season. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Season comes in, you know, there are different seasons in the Bible, but it comes in, and I guess I can say it in there because I don't have the time, just a little time I have on here. But just for the sake of time, you know, you have literal seasons. Then you have seasons like appointed time. What's literal season? So literal season, like what God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, where he said, make the earth and stars and everything else, and let it be for seasons and times and days and months and years and everything else. That's when God created time. And in time, man, you know, we have seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, you know, and on and on and on and on. And that's the duration, man, of carrying on of that time. Steady going on and on and on. And all, that, what that is, that's time. That's an interruption in eternity, if I can say it that way. And I come back and put some water on that one each time. But boy, I'm talking about, boy, he created time, and he said, boy, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest time. A time that's old time. That's old. For every time, for every season, there's a time. So in one place when they're talking about time and how it's measured in duration, continuous duration of days and years and months. And then another thing, it what time is appointed time. That's what season is. Season is a thing that happens in time. Let me see if I can explain that. You know, for instance, like in the duration of time and the going on of time, you know, we have, you know, in a year's time. That's a period in time. And in this year's time, man, you know, there are seasons. Winter, summer, autumn, spring. But they're all in the time. That continual duration of days and hours and everything else, you know. But in this time, there's appointed seasons. There's defining moments in this time. And it's called season. Just like we have all winter, autumn, spring, summer. And all of them change. And we change with the season. So boy, the same way with our Father in heaven. When he created time in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, then not only did he create time, that's the duration of time that we live in. That's measured by, like I say, days and years and all like that. On and on in time. But in this time, boy, that he has allowed us to live in, man, there are seasons in it. There are appointed durations of time in it. The Bible calls it this way. They are dispensations of time. So in this time that we live in and that we go through, man, in these periods of time, different periods in time, the Bible calls them dispensations. What's a dispensation? That's a period in time that God deal with man down through the ages in different ways and in different responsibilities. He created Noah in this time that you and I live in on the earth. He created seasons in it too. It's like it got winter, spring, summer in the literal time. But in the appointed time, it got seasons in it too. But the season the Bible calls dispensation. Period in human history in which God deal with mankind in a particular way and give man a particular responsibility. And man's authority is to remain true to that administrative responsibility that God gave him in his season. And that in his duration of time, in his season. The Bible speaks to some say, you know, I think it's most believe and I've seen in the Bible where it speaks of seven dispensations. That's here in the natural, seven different periods in human history in which God deal with mankind. There's seven in that he deal with mankind, but there are more ways in the history of God that he deal with not only mankind, but other kind too. Angels and everything else. That's different dispensation. But in the dispensation of mankind's life here on this earth, there's seven dispensations. The first one is called a dispensation of innocence. That's what I'll be telling y'all about it in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. But that happened, man, over 6,000 years ago in the time of man. And in that time, during that time, it was a season that was set up on it. And that season, what I be telling you about, man, all the time, man, Genesis chapter 1 and 2. That was an appointed time. And in that appointed time, Adam and Eve didn't have no unbroken fellowship with God, and everything was all right. And they were on a spot on the earth, boy. They lived in a spot on the earth that was a a carbon copy of heaven. They had the atmosphere and the environment of heaven. And they had the divine connection, man, to heaven. And they had the life of Almighty God on the inside of them, and the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. And boy, they were set on course towards a destination that the Father set for them, for all of us. That it might be in our territory here on earth, just like it is in his territory. Heaven on earth. That's the arrangement that God set up. Hallelujah. And in that arrangement that he set up on the earth, right there, that he set up on the earth, that's called the period in time where mankind was innocent. Like I told you, wasn't no sin in there. Wasn't no unbroken fellowship. Can you imagine, like I always say, ask you on this thing, can you imagine what life was like before Adam and Eve ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What kind of relationship that they had? That's why God said, your eyes ain't seen and your ears ain't heard, nor has it entered into our heart what boy the Father is really doing. But you know what the Bible said in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12? I think it's around verse 32. He say, and the sons of Issachar had an understanding of the times so that they might know what the children of Israel needed to do or had to do. What are you saying, Arthur? What are you saying in that passage of scripture that you just quoted on? He said, boy, because the economy, they were gathering people together to fight with David, to overthrow all the other empires and make David king and establish man Jerusalem in the earth and establish man a city of peace. Because he fought against all the enemies. And in this particular man, tribe, people, waters, the men of Issachar, the sons of Issachar, they had an understanding of the time. They knew what time it was. Not only did they know what time it was, they knew what season it was. If the time was up for Saul to be king and the season was for now David to be king, it's a new season. It's a new king. It's a new season. They had an understanding of the time. The same thing, you know, when you and I come to the knowledge of the understanding of the time, then we will know what we ought to do. But because of a lack of understanding of the time and what's really going on and what this season that we're talking about right here, because it's in time. But it's an appointed time in time called a season. And we celebrate it, man, you know, only at the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's just one day celebration, his birth. But would you understand the reason for the season? That's why I say Jesus is more than the reason for the season. He bought the season. He created the season. Yeah. He's the reason for the existence of the season. I don't ever want you to think when I say, I'm not saying Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the reason for the existence of the season. But the reason why he came and the reason why he was born, it ain't for the reason of the season. He was born to bring that season back. That he created and that he established for you and I to live in. That season that he set up on the earth is called the dispensation of innocence. The way Adam and Eve were in the garden before they ate out the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That season. That's the season that he came to bring back. That's the season that he had up on his shoulder. To put you and I back in right standing with our Father in heaven, boy, and set us back on course toward his destination for our life. Not the destination for your own life. Many are the plans in our heart, but I'm talking about the purpose of the Lord. His plan and his purpose for our life. He said, I know the plans that I have for you, said the Lord. They're plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And boy, when you call upon me, I answer you. And boy, when you seek me, boy, you will find me. And when you seek me, watch this, with your whole heart, not only will you find me, but you will find everything that, boy, I have in store for you. And you can start possessing that, man, now. See how you're going to possess what you haven't found. If you lost something, man, how you going to possess it and have it until you find it? That's why the Bible says, seek ye first Hello. What are boy you seeking for, boy, what God is doing. And when you find out what God is doing, that's why I always tell you, he's going to tell us to come boldly to his throne and eat from the king's table. So that you can hear this, and not just what I say, but what God say to you about what I say. I told you he want to have a personal relationship with you. But he got to establish that. So he used apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and whatever talent that we might fall upon the man. But boy, that's for a reason. That's to build you up for your ministry. So that you can know that, hey man, God ain't got no big eyes to deal with you. He just used us being to help you develop, boy, your personal relationship. And because, man, of a lack of knowledge of that, man, most leaders try to maintain followers and members of the church. And boy, the purpose for us, man, them coming there, boy, to change them followers into leaders. And them leaders into agents of change. They can go back into their hour, everyday circle of influence, and impact, boy, this plan and purpose. For not only, boy, our life, but our life here on this earth. What was his reason for creating us and establishing us here? And that season that he set up on the earth, man, you know, at first, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, that's why you hear me say, those are the only two perfect chapters in the Bible. Because in that period of time right there, everything was all right. That's why you hear me ask you sometimes, how would you feel if you knew everything was all right? We might ask you that because, boy, you can know, you can feel that way. We really can feel that way. But the only way we can feel that way, you got to get back into that season, into that appointed time, to what God had going on in that appointed time. When Adam and them disobeyed God, they rebelled against God, man. Then they was no longer innocent. So now, boy, God can't deal with them, man, in that way no more. Well, what is a dispensation? That's a period in human history in which God deals with mankind. And in that period in history, man, he gives man a particular responsibility. And man's responsibility, man, is to remain true to that administrative authority that God signed him under. When God created Adam and Eve, he gave them, man, you know what? He said, let them have dominion. Let them be in my image. I would like to let them have dominion over all the earth. Fish of the sea, the birds of the air, boy, let them be fruitful and multiply. And let them, man, you know, man, subdue the whole earth. And, man, let them make the whole earth just like it is in him. That's a particular responsibility. Do what, boy? Hey, be in my image, be in my likeness, and make it in your territory, boy, just like it is in my territory. Make the whole earth. See how your spot is, Adam, here on this earth? This little garden of Eden that you're in right here on this earth? Be fruitful and multiply and reproduce, man. And when your family reproduce, when they reproduce from this place, then they're going to take this place, man, to their place. But they take it, boy, the presence of the Lord to their place where they go. And everywhere they go, man, when mankind is born and they being fruitful and multiply, they take it, boy, that atmosphere and that environment with them, man, to their home and to their family that they develop and grow up with. That Garden of Eden, that place, that innocent place where no unbroken fellowship, that relationship. See, man, listen, through traditions and religion and everything else, man, we didn't make the word of God a matter of fact. That Lord, the church don't even know, man, what the word of God is. Listen, most believers don't even read the Bible. Most people in church, perhaps most of you understand my voice. Listen, you might be children of the Most High God, but I'm talking about disciples of Christ. That's a difference. A disciple is a student. What's the purpose for discipleship? To learn. How you gonna learn? You need a teacher. Get ready, do they teach you? See, listen, preach means to publicly declare the message. So we go out, we publicly declare the message. What's the message? Hey, listen, you who are illiterate and everything else, hey, we building a school, and you can come to school, and man, then you can start learning. But you preach to the people, you tell them, hey, we got a school here. Come to the school And then you can learn, develop, that good thing going to happen to you. You're probably declaring a message, you're preaching to them. But then when they come to school, then they, well, what they do, then they get taught. And as they're getting taught, they start learning things and growing and developing in their mind and mentality and manner of life and mannerism and way of life and behavior of life. Growing in the knowledge. And that's just only through the five senses. Can you imagine, boy, we grow in the knowledge of God? That's why I say, boy, the devil don't ever want you to know the word of God. That's why he don't ever want you to know the word of God for yourself. That's why most of us put our faith in the wisdom of the man. You know, we go to church on Sunday, man, perform our rituals, our ceremonies, our duties, and then come back trying to do the best we can, man. And then, you know, that's it. Round and around in circles, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. When all the time, boy, listen, that ain't what this is all about. This is about, boy, God, man, sending his son to reestablish, boy, that dispensation of innocence back in our lives here on the earth. That season. And in that season, and at a point in time, and what was going on and at a point in time, boy, God was loving his children. Like I told you, he wasn't nothing but love in there. Wasn't nothing but love in there. No unbroken fellowship. Everything all right. On their way, boy, to becoming, boy, everything that God say, they are. On their way to having everything that God say they have. On their way to doing everything that God said they could do. On their way to being everything God said they could be. On their way to having everything that God said that we could have. Until we reach the fullness of our inheritance. Well, that's what the Bible said in Matthew chapter 24, when it's all said and done, God, the totality of it, the I don't know what word it is, the consummation of it, or however you say that, and then it when, boy, he say, boy, come, you who are blessed of your Father, and get your inheritance, all of the kingdom of heaven that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. What you mean, boy, listen, when it's all said and done, boy, that's going to be the final word. Jesus already said, hey, listen, I come to bring it to you. But right, you know, not in its fullness. I come to start it. I come to establish it on the earth. I come to bring, man, you know, that season, the what was going on in that time and in that season, I come to bring that back to the earth. And you got to go come to me, and if you come to me, then you're going to learn a debt. Now, if you go to the religious group and all that, everything else, then you're going to learn the law, you're going to learn Moses, you're going to learn of God, you're going to learn about God. But if you come to me, you're going to learn God, you're going to know God. They say, show us the Father. Hey, Jesus, you seen me, you seen the Father. Now, Cobbler, them and them high priests and them Sadducees and the Pharisees and Nicodemus and all them, they couldn't say nothing like that. Come to us and you'll see our religion. You see our rituals, you see our ceremonies, you see our traditions. But Jesus said, if you come to me, boy, you see the Father. And if you see the Father, then it'd be like looking into a mirror. Well, you see, just like when you look into a mirror, you'll see a reflection of yourself. And when you see the Father God, then you see the same thing. You'll see the true reflection of yourself. You'll see who you really are. That's why, boy, he was manifested in the flesh, so that we could see him. And seeing Jesus and seeing who he is and seeing what he did and seeing, man, the thought and power and dominion that we walked in, that we might see ourselves. That as he is, so are we. Listen, boy, God met with them old boys on the mountain up there, boy, Moses and Elijah, and, boy, they called the mountain of what? Transfiguration, because they saw a great light and everything else. That light was a means to the end. That wasn't what that was all about. It wasn't about no great light. It was about a transfer. Boy, it was about, boy, another appointed time. It was about another season. said, hallelujah. It's about, boy, when Jesus met with Moses and Elijah, and he came and he told them, he said, all right, boy, y'all to fulfill y'all purpose in y'all season, in y'all appointed time. Now, boy, listen, it's my season. That's why I say the reason ain't him, the reason for the season, it is his season. It's his season. He's establishing of it and everything else, you know. And like I say, he's the reason for his ownership of it, because he's Lord. But he created the season for you and I. And we lost that season in Adam. And down through time, all the way down through time, your whole body, what it's all about is a means to one end. What? Is to get that season that we lost in Adam back to the earth. Hey, listen, you know, after Adam fell, you know, and God could no longer deal with mankind according to innocence no more. Why? Because mankind wasn't innocent no more. He was guilty. He was dead and separated from God. He had two deaths. Well, he had to experience two deaths. He was spiritually separated from God. He was separated from the presence of God. That's spiritual death. And then eventually, man, he died physically. So he died two deaths. Well, spiritual first, separated from God. Disconnected from God. Disconnected from his source and sustainer. No longer in that garden of Eden. No longer in that innocence, in that glorious place. No longer, boy, covered. No longer righteous. No longer dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Well, the greatest thing you lost is the connection of the Holy Spirit. So now you don't have no connection with God. Now you got to lean on his own understanding. And he got to make it from the sweat of his brow. Instead of, boy, being hooked up to his source and sustainer, which is our Father in heaven, where everything is supplied, he got to make it on his own. He got to live according. Now, instead of living according to what God was walking and talking to him in the day, he got to live according to his words, his conscience now. When he was in the spirit, boy, and was connected to the spirit, then he was led by the spirit. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit. He was led by the word of God. And God's word is spirit, and it is life. But boy, when he got separated from God, he no longer led by the word of God now. He led by his own word. That's what your conscience is, the voice of your spirit. That word, boy, when you declare independence from God, then you say, I can make it on my own. And boy, and listening to your own word and your own things and everything else, that's called a dispensation of conscience. That's when man, God was dealing with man according to not his conscience. That's why the Bible says, boy, you know, your conscience will tell you to do this and do that, or do this right or do this wrong, or what's right and wrong. But boy, you still got your will. But because you separated from God, no one more being led by our conscience led to. It led to the flood. When man, we get to show you what, boy, that trying to live without God ends in destruction. So, boy, in that second dispensation, of that second season, man, when God was dealing with mankind, from the fall of Adam all the way up to Noah, before the flood, man, mankind was living according to his conscience. Now, he was living in history and time, but, boy, the season that he was living in wasn't no more innocent, boy, now he's living according to his conscience. The Bible says conscience was so sealed that it repented God that he had made man. So, boy, he wiped him out the face of the earth. Because you're going to make it anyway without me. Because you weren't designed to make it without me. You're going to only get more evil and evil and evil. The Bible says, when you said, boy, listen, for his man, conscience and everything else, all this guy was more evil and more wicked than was upon the face of the earth that they grew. So, well, God said, I'm going to have to wipe him out the face of the earth. And then, boy, you know the story of the prison on God, wiped him out the face of the earth. And but Noah found grace. And after, with no man left on the face of the earth no more, and God started all over again with Noah and his three sons and his wife, and then God set up now, boy, human government. So you're going to have to have, man, that's where our civic government system began and then. That's where kings and kingdoms began after that time. That's where men begin to be governed, man, by what they call leaders, self-governed. Hallelujah. The self-government is in the kingdom of darkness, boy. You know what the kingdom of God is? That's the governing system of God. You know what self-government is? That's man governing themselves. And governing one another without God. That's human government. And boy, that wasn't going to work, man, you know, but they had all these kingdoms and everything else. And all the way down from Noah, after Noah, man, the next dispensation that men appeared in time, that, you know, the story in your Bible. That's why these stories are in your Bible. You know, what happened is what? Man, after Noah, man, came Abraham. The stories of Abraham, the right of Abraham, all that in your Bible. What? That, now God dealing with mankind in a whole different way than he was dealing with Noah, you know. He said the human government is all right. They're going to set that up on the earth so that it can have some kind of order up on the earth. Thank God, boy, that we got the governing system that we have here. Can you imagine if we didn't have no governing system here on this earth? Can you imagine, boy, if we didn't have no police, no army, no laws, no governing system up on this earth? What it would be, it'd be just as worse as it was before the flood. So he set up a governance system. That's how he dealt with mankind in that season, in that appointed time. That went on for so long, and this boy came up, boy, then God, man, went, God, where the God came, Abraham. He said, now I'm going to build me a nation. And he said, now, and then he said, and he started making promises to Abraham. He said, I promise you this, and I promise you this. You know what that promise was, man? The promised land. If they come out from among this familiarity where you're at, I'm going to take you to a land that I'm going to show you that's flowing with milk and honey. And that's going to be your land. In other words, boy, that's God, man, making a promise, man. What? That, hey, listen, that land that you lost, man, in Adam, that Eden, that place, that environment right there, I'm going to take you to, in the physical, in the natural, in this natural realm, type of shadow, I got a land prepared for you. I promise you something, that I'm going to take you and your descendants. I'm going to make of you a great nation. And boy, I'm going to get you back. I'm going to get you into a promised land. What's the promised land? You know, when Adam and Eve, they made out the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know, they were deceived by the devil. You know, that's when the first, man, announcement of a Christmas, man, was made. It was made in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. When God told the devil, he said, the seed of the woman going to bruise your head. You're going to strike his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. In other words, he told that Satan, boy, he said, listen, you didn't deceive my children, and you didn't trick them, man, and they didn't give their dominion that I gave them to you, man, and he said, but I promise you something, boy. This is where he made the promise. He said, listen, man, that coming, boy, that same woman who you deceived, I can't come into this earth and do nothing now because I gave man dominion over the earth. Spirits that have bodies. I'm a spirit, so I ain't got no body. You know, the only body I have is my children. And the only body that I have is Adam and Eve. And I can't use them bodies or no bodies that going to come from them because they corrupted now. And I can't dwell in no unclean bodies, man, you know. So you think I ain't got no way of getting back into the earth, but I promise you something. That woman gonna have a son. And through that woman gonna come another man. Hallelujah. And boy, he gonna redeem my people from this destruction. But that was the first announcement, man, of the birth of Christmas. He told him it's coming a son. And listen, you know why mankind really start killing one another, man? You know, that's why the killing and it got so bad and wickedness was upon the face of the earth. Because after then, everything that the devil been doing ever since then, boy, is he's been relentlessly hunting for that son. That's why I can't kill Abel. Listen to man, he's looking for that seed. He was looking for that son. That's why me and the world became wars and rumors of wars and mankind killing one another, you know. And God set up laws, man, even one of the laws, man, about man killing one another. That's in another broadcast. But boy, I'm talking about more. That's why he killed a man, why he looking for that seed. And down through time, man began to instead of loving one another, man grew in hatred and envy and strife and bitterness and backbiting and slandering and man and everything else. So far away from what God had written a plan and purpose was for our lives. That devil looking for that seed. Hey, Lord. And then the Bible say, boy, what that is, boy. And God, even God was prophesying it on down through time, man, and periods in time, and seasons in time, appointed times in time, that God called seasons. That was the season of the promise. God promised Moses that they lived in that land. That y'all lost, that y'all lost in Adam and Eve, and I'm gonna restore that land back to you and all your descendants. That season, I'm gonna restore that back to y'all. And boy, I'm talking about 430 years past, boy. You know, before, man, I'm talking about, boy, the promise, man, came. Listen, the It took 430 years. But boy, I'm talking about in the fullness of time, God sent Moses down into Egypt and boy and delivered God's children, man, out of that bondage. And took a man, what? To the wilderness. To a promised land. What he was headed to? A promised land. That's a dispensation of promise. That's a period in human history when God was dealing with man according to the promise. What are they supposed to do, boy? Just believe the promise. Have faith in the promise. And boy, I'm talking about, boy, 300. And in fact, Moses took, God took Abraham to the mountain. He took him from the land where he was at and took him to the mountain. And he said, took him on top of the mountain. He said, hey, all that land that you can see out there, what? That promised land, that first milk and honey, that's yours. I'm giving it to you. That belongs to you. Then he took him back down on the mountain, man, into everyday life and everything else. Then he told him, now you go. And every bit of ground that the sole of your feet tread upon, you shall possess. In other words, God said, I'm giving you the earth, but you got to possess it. You got to seize it. Hey, y'all, my time is about up, you know. Let me just suffice it by saying this, you know. Hey, listen, we in a season now. We're going to continue this, you know, I guess, for a few weeks, man, so that you can really understand what this season that we just got to celebrate is all about. So it don't just be a tradition to you, a passed down tradition, man, a celebrating, man, the way the pagans do and other holidays that's done in your life. But you understand the reason for the season. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. And in the fullness of time, Jesus came, born of a woman, made in the likeness of sinful man. And he might redeem our lives from that destruction. And boy, he came with gifts. And I said here as I close this radio broadcast, we didn't listen because we've been celebrating in the pagan way and in the traditional way that's far away from God's original intent for it. Then boy, we celebrated and got gifts from one another, boy. And all the time, boy, you left the greatest gifts under the tree. Boy, I'm talking about, boy, when Jesus Christ came, boy, that was God bringing gifts to us. What gift? The gift of salvation. The gift of righteousness. The gift of eternal life. The gift of faith. The gift of grace. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the power of God. The gift of the kingdom of heaven. All these are gifts from God that you can open up every day, man, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But because you don't understand the season and the time and what it's really all about, you preoccupied with the means. What's the means? Jesus. And he had dispensed forth in what? The end. You know about the birth and Christmas and everything else, but you don't know about the season. Listen, I love y'all with the love of the Lord. God bless you. You know my time is up. And if you stay tuned, we're going to continue this next week as we go into this new year so that you can walk into your true season and be blessed. I love you with the love of the Lord. God bless you. I'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Executed.
Pastor Arthur LeVay. We at Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry would like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to serve you and your family. We trust that the message